We're continuing a sermon series on the book of James. Done some research. Discovered that there's actually a phobic society of America for people who have different fears. So I'm going to encourage you, if you want to go to this, you ought to go. Because they had 3,500 members last year at their annual convention. Only 200 show up. The rest were afraid to go. Afraid of large groups. Afraid of flying. Just too afraid. So it's interesting to me that we all have different fears. We are frightened by different things. Some of you have fought in combat, but you're about not never to visit a dentist. Others, you climb mountains, but if someone asked you to speak in front of 15 people, it would kill you. Some of you are men who make $1,000 decisions during the week. But when things go creak in the night, you send your wife. It's amazing to me that we all have different kinds of fears. So please take out the sermon notes that have been prepared for you. This morning we're going to look at the second greatest fear. And you notice the second greatest fear is the fear of failure. Yeah, the fear of failure. In America, we idolize success. Therefore, failure is almost an unpardonable sin. Nobody wants to fail. Some people will do anything to win. Do you know someone like that? Fear of failure puts a lot of stress on people. People will refuse to climb the ladder of success because they're afraid of failure. The fear of failure has many different faces. But two things that the fear of failure can cause. In your notes, number one, fear of failure causes indecision. You cannot make up your mind. You can't make decisions. You have a hard time because you're afraid that you'll make the wrong one. Number two, in your notes, the fear of failure also causes perfectionism. You're never satisfied. It's never just right. Research has shown that the more successful that you are, the more you tend to fear failure. Fear is a big issue in a dog-eat-dog world. The fear of failure is most severe among talented people. So let's have a little quiz this morning. How many of you have ever known an answer to a question, but you were afraid to raise your hand? Raise your hand. Gotcha. How many of you didn't raise your hand? The Bible tells us there are four antidotes to the fear of failure. Number one in your notes, remember, everybody fails. Just remember, everybody fails. Have you ever made any mistakes? Well, welcome to the human race. Look at what James says, James 2, verse 2. Please read it with me together out loud and with some enthusiasm. We all stumble in many ways. How many of you agree with that verse? How many of you are living proof of that verse? We all stumble in many ways. I hear people say that, what if I fail? I just want to say, what do you mean, if? Let me give you three facts in life. Number one in your notes, you have failed many, many times in your lives. You have failed. And number two, you are a failure right now in some areas. You're failing in some areas of your life right now. And number three, yeah, you will fail a whole lot more in the future. Kind of concludes my message. You're going to fail. Welcome to the human race. As James says, we all stumble in many ways. Look what Solomon says in Ecclesiastes 7, verse 20. There is no one on earth who does what is right all the time and never makes a mistake. Nobody is perfect. I was thinking about this. The closest you're ever going to get to being perfect is when you're filling out your job application. That's a perfect view of yourself. But nobody is perfect. We all stumble. Yeah, even the superstars. You know that if you played in the NBA, the average NBA player only makes 50% of his shots. That means he misses every other time he shoots. The guy with the best batting average in the majors may flirt with batting at 400. In fact, nobody since Ted Williams has batted 400. That means that 6 out of every 10 times at bat, Ted Williams walked back to the dugout, and he was the very best. Even superstars strike out. Get this next point, even if you get nothing else. See, in your notes, when you let go of that image of being perfect, then the fear of failure will let go of you. And when you let go of the image of you being perfect, then the fear of failure will let go of his grip on you. So remember, everybody fails. You have failed, you are a failure, and you will fail in the future. It's part of being human. Number 2 in your notes. Now realize, failure is not fatal. We over-exaggerate the effects of failure. We blow it way out of proportion. Failure is not fatal. It's not the end of the world. Look at what Solomon says in Proverbs 24. No matter how often an honest man falls, he always gets up again. So remember this in your notes. The fear of failure is far more damaging than failure itself. The fear of failure is far more damaging to your life than failure itself. Because God is saying in your notes, good guys stumble. Even the good guys stumble, the righteous, the people who are trying, they stumble, they blow it, they stub their toes. Successful people are not people who never fail, they just get up again and again, and they keep going. Successful people just don't know how to quit. Well, look at the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 8 and 9. We are hard pressed, he says, on every side, but what? Not crushed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not what? Destroyed. Just keep on keeping on. So in your notes, great people are ordinary people with extraordinary determination. They just keep on going and going. They realize that they are never a failure until they quit. Look at the definition of failure. Failure in your notes is refusing to try. See, Paul says, I get knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. How many of you missed the ball the first time you swung your bat? Sure, we all do. But did you give up playing ball? No. How many of you ever missed a meal? Did you stop eating because you were a failure? In fact, you're not very consistent. You just keep on going. You might even eat a little more next time. Everybody fails, but failure is not fatal. I was reading about some famous failures. Do you know that George Washington, he lost 2/3 of all the battles he ever fought? But he won the war. He later became president. Did you know that Napoleon, he graduated 42nd in a class of 43? Then he went out and he conquered all of Europe. Did you know that in 21 years, Babe Ruth hit 714 home runs, but he struck out 1,330 times? Babe Ruth struck out nearly twice as often as he hit a home run. Then there was John Priestley, who was a famous novelist. He got 753 rejection slips from publishers for his books. He wrote before he ever published, 564. How would you like to be rejected 753 times first? R.P. Macy, he failed 7 times at retailing before starting his Macy department store. But you just keep on going. Number 1, remember that everybody fails. Number 2, realize it's not fatal. And in your notes, number 3, so you start recognizing the benefits of failure. We usually think of failure as a negative experience. Solomon says in Proverbs, talks about people who take advantage of their failure. They actually learn from it. They make the most of it. They use it as an education. Did you know that one of the primary tools that God uses in your life to make you into what he wants you to be is failure? Did you know that? Look at 3 ways that God uses failure in your life. Number 1, God uses failure to educate. God uses failure to educate me. On the back of your notes, look at Proverbs 28. A man who refuses to admit his mistakes can never be successful. And the words mistakes and success are in the same verse. They go together. They actually go together. How do you learn to become a success? By learning, first of all, what doesn't work, then not doing it again. Mistakes are just learning experiences. They are learning experiences. Would you agree that with this, that there are some things we learn only through our failures? Sure. Some of us are highly educated, too. If you are not making mistakes, you're probably not growing. And God uses failures, number one, to educate. Number two, God uses failure in my life and to motivate. God uses failure to motivate me. Look at Proverbs 20, verse 30. Sometimes it takes a painful situation, Solomon says, to make us change our ways. Do you agree with that verse? Sometimes we change not because we see the light, but only when we feel the heat. When you fail, have you thought that God may just want you to go in a new direction? In the Old Testament, there's the story of Elijah. When he goes down to the brook of Cherith, the ravens are coming down to him, and they're feeding him. One day, the Bible says the brook dried up. Elijah gets all mad. He says, God, why did the brook dry up? Sometimes in our lives, the brook dries up too. God said, real simply, I don't want you to be there anymore. Elijah was going to stay there in comfort as long as the brook provided for him. But God wanted Elijah to move on. God lights a fire under us also. Sometimes it takes a painful situation to make us change our ways. And number three, God also uses failure in our lives to cultivate. God uses failures to cultivate me. Number one, to educate. Number two, motivate. Number three, cultivate. Look at Romans 5, where Paul says, we can rejoice. We can rejoice when we run into problems and trials. Is that really the typical reaction to trials and problems in our lives? Why should we rejoice? But Paul says, going on, for we know that they are good for us. They develop strength of character. You see, failure has a way of softening our hearts. And some people, failure builds character. It helps them grow, helps us to become more mature, makes us less judgmental of others. And some people, failure builds. In your notes, for other people, failure makes them better. Failure makes them better when you respond to it correctly, when you learn from it, when you grow from it. For other people, failure makes them very bitter. It makes them even more judgmental. That leads me to the fourth antidote to the fear of failure. Number four in your notes. You simply relax in God's grace. And that's really the most important key, just relaxing in God's grace. Look at Psalm 103. Please read that verse with me together out loud. God knows what we are made of. He remembers that we are dust. You know what that says to you, don't you? And you notice when we fail, God is not surprised. No, God is not surprised. God expects us to fail because he knows what we're made of. He knows we are human. God does not expect us to be perfect in every way. Now, even when you fail, God's never going to stop loving you. If you think that you have to be perfect for God to love you, you have missed the central message of the Bible. In your notes, the central message of the Bible is that God loves you, not because of who you are, but rather because of who he is. God loves you because of who he is and not because of what you do. God loves you because of what Jesus has done for you already. God made you, and God loves you. Get this next point in your note. So you cannot make God love you more, and you cannot make God love you less. God loves you just as much on your bad days as he does on your good days. God loves is not performance-based, because God's love is unconditional. And in your notes, it's God's love is called grace. God's grace is amazing grace, and you cannot make God stop loving you. It's that amazing. And that's why you can relax. You can relax in God's grace. God's love is not dependent upon you. See, many of us grew up in homes which were very performance-based. We thought if we failed, we were worth nothing. But God is not like that, like an unpleasable parent. Look at Colossians 2, verse 14. Please read that verse with me together out loud. See, God canceled our debt, which listed all the rules we failed to follow. He took away that record with its rules and nailed it to the cross. Circle the words there, all the rules we failed. See, the gospel says that all those rules that we have failed to follow, all of our sins, God nailed them to the cross. So in your notes, number one, the Christian life is not a mistake-free life. Rather, number two, the Christian life is a guilt-free life. Take a deep breath on that one. We're not required to live a mistake-free life. You're going to make mistakes. When the Bible tells about all the great servants of God in history, he tells it like it is. God saved the world through a man by the name of what? Noah. And yet the Bible says that after the flood, he got drunk and got naked. The Christian life is not mistake-free life. The Bible tells us that David, he was a man after God's own heart. Yet the Bible says that David had an affair and had an illegitimate child. The Christian life is not a mistake-free life. The Bible says Moses, he was a great man. He led the children of Israel through the Red Sea, like Charlton Heston did, you know. Everything was great, but the Bible tells us he killed a guy. And he got angry, he hit that rock instead of speaking to it. The Bible tells the good and the bad. Why? Because God uses ordinary people who can simply relax in his grace. Your primary witness as a believer today to the world, in your notes, is simply how you handle your mistakes. Think about that. If you claim to be a believer, your primary witness is to be how to handle your failures, how you actually respond when you blow it. Do you relax in God's grace, or do you start to fake perfection? We together celebrate today Holy Communion. Because we have sinned, yes, we are sinners, and we will sin in the future. And we know that Jesus died on the cross for all sinners. We are not faking our perfection. Rather, we celebrate Jesus' perfect life and his suffering and his dying on the cross for us. So in conclusion, we may not need to fear failure. We can simply relax in God's grace. But then there is one failure you need to fear. Look at Hebrews 12, verse 15. He says, be careful that no one fails what? To receive God's grace. We may not need to fear failure, and we can relax in God's grace. One failure you need to fear, though, that one failure, only one, that everybody needs to fear. You don't let anybody fail to receive God's grace. Because it's actually possible to live. It's actually possible to live an entire life on earth without receiving God's grace and by trusting in Jesus as your Savior. And what a waste that is. There's one person, he was standing at a party, had a cigarette in one hand and a drink in the other. He's talking to some Christians. He said, Jesus is just your crutch today. The Christian said, you got to be kidding. You just got to be kidding. Jesus is not my crutch. Jesus is my iron lung. And we couldn't live a single day without him. And we relax in his grace. Amen.